Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk Chiefs football with Adam Teicher from ESPN. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good, Steven. How are you guys doing today?
You know, we're doing well, but we just want to know, why is Le'Veon Bell so mad? What did you do to him on his way out the door? Is it you?
I think kind of Tyrann Mathieu sort of hit it on the nail on the head, right? I mean, I think he's looking to place blame for where his career has gone. And, I don't know what was said or allegedly said. I don't know what Andy Reid did to him, but or didn't do. But it sure looks like he's looking for a place to lay the blame for the way his career has gone. And that's the only explanation that makes sense here. So we'll see. But it's kind of nice to see some other players standing up for Andy Reid here.
Yeah, it's. If you're looking for a job in the NFL and you're a free agent out there, it's an interesting approach to try to trash Andy Reid on the way out the door, considering he has a pretty decent coaching and front office tree out there, doesn't he, Adam?
Yeah, and I feel like if you can't play for Andy Reid, I think you'll have a tough time playing for a lot of guys, because a lot of guys really like playing for Andy Reid. So, hey, I don't know what happened between the two of them, and I guess it's probably bad to say that nothing did or whatever, but this is just really weird, and I can't imagine that this is going to end well for Le'Veon Bell. I really don't.
Well, it's we were talking about, you know, whether or not the Chiefs should bring in another aging running back who used to be good, and it's like it seems like the times they've done that, it really hasn't helped out too much.
Yeah, the last 2 years, it's not been great from LeSean McCoy and Le'Veon Bell, but so maybe the Chiefs can get it right this time with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, and Jerick McKinnon. We'll see, but I don't expect the Chiefs to add the next Le'Veon Bell this time around.
Because there was at least some buzz. I think Bill Barnwell wrote an article that that he thought that Todd Gurley would end up signing with the Chiefs, and that raised our eyebrows. I know he was Gurley was visiting with the Detroit Lions and was visiting with the Ravens as well. And I like the signing of Jerick McKinnon, and it happened at a time where it just kind of went under the radar. And I think his skill set, and based on what I saw, you know, from him with the 49ers when he was healthy last year, I think he could be a nice addition, because they wouldn't ask him to do too much, and they would keep his touches to a reasonable amount where he wouldn't, I think, have to carry a heavy workload. And I think he could be a very nice player in this system.
No, I agree. I think that that wasn't under the radar signing by the Chiefs. It happened, I think, the day of the draft, or maybe the day before the draft. And so I like that signing. I think the Chiefs can get something out of Jerick McKinnon. He doesn't have to play a lot, like you said. So the Chiefs can look for some spots, and maybe one area that the Chiefs can use him in is, okay, we know the Chiefs aren't running quarterback sneaks with Patrick Mahomes anymore because of what happened that night in Denver a couple of years ago. Now, are we in agreement that we're not going to see the Chiefs run the option with Patrick Mahomes anymore after what happened against Cleveland last year? So, you know, Jerick McKinnon was an option quarterback in college. He did a lot of that at Georgia Southern. So, maybe that's something the Chiefs can use him, a way that the Chiefs can get something out of him. I'm not big on the idea of taking Mahomes off the field or making a decoy out of him as a receiver on a third and one or a fourth and one or whatever. But, there may be some spots where it works out for the Chiefs.
So now the option's off the table and the quarterback sneaks off the table now. Anything else?
Well, if he gets hurt dropping back and throwing, maybe they'll take that off the table too.
No.
So I don't know. I think Andy Reid would probably draw the line at that one, I guess.
Okay, I'm okay with that option being gone, because he does that does open him up. But I mean, should they revisit the quarterback sneak thing? Because there are times when I've thought that this would be a perfect time for the quarterback. See, you don't have to do it all the time, but that was such a freak thing that happened in Denver. Should that be off the table, really? I know it is.
I don't think it should. I mean, how many guys get hurt running that play? I mean, I don't remember ever hearing a guy getting hurt other than Mahomes that night in Denver. So that was just a freak thing. So, the option is a different story. But I feel like the quarterback sneak, Chiefs could run that every now and then and get away with it and not have a problem with it.
We have Adam Teicher on the line. So, Adam, mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow, and we expect – well, let's just start there. Do we expect everyone to be there? Should it, is there anyone that you think is a good chance not to show up? I know LDT is going to be there. What are we expecting as far as attendance?
Yeah, no, as far as I know, everybody's going to be there. I think it would be a surprise at this point if somebody didn't show up. I was wondering about Duvernay-Tardif because I'm not sure what the travel situation is right now between Canada and the U.S. I don't know if it's just that easy for him to get in, but Andy Reid said he's going to be here, so he would be the one I'd wonder about. But other than that, I'm expecting everybody to be there this week.
Well, the last I saw last week, I know that I got a buddy who lives in Canada who's can't come to the U.S. right now. Maybe, and I think it's because of the travel restrictions, not because of any personal behavior like that. But yeah, you never know sometimes with my friends. But
right.
But I think with the NHL, they had to get some sort of special exemption from the Canadian government to be able to travel in and out, and that was just last week. So
I would think the Chiefs had looked into it.
Right.
To whatever they have to do, right?
I think the restrictions in Canada are tighter there. And
tighter.
Right.
Yeah.
So they had to have a special exemption for teams traveling from the United States to Canada.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know about the other way around.
I think it's just a COVID test.
And it's a different situation that he's going to walk into here because we thought that he'd be battling with Kyle Long for that guard position, and Kyle Long is now hurt. And so maybe just give us your reaction to the Kyle Long injury and what are the battles that are going to be you'll be focused on the offensive line starting tomorrow.
Yeah, well, obviously that's not good for the Chiefs. There's some depth that's gone. And I think at this point with Kyle Long, he's going to miss all of camp and all of the preseason. And, the Chiefs are hopeful he can still make it back to the start of the year. But I think anything that they get from him at this point, you have to look at it. Anything they get from him at this point is going to be a bonus. So, and you should probably not expect it. So, he's out of the mix probably. Hey, right guard now, hey, Duvernay-Tardif, this kind of opens it up a little bit from him. But, the Chiefs really like Trey Smith. Their sixth-round pick from Tennessee, the guy who kind of dropped unexpectedly in the draft. And I think that's going to be an interesting position battle right there between those two guys. And maybe one of the more interesting position battles on the line between those two guys. But I think, the left side seems like it's set with Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney. And Creed Humphrey, I think, is going to end up winning that center spot. And then right tackle, I keep waiting for the Chiefs to start rotating with Remmers and Lucas Niang, but hadn't happened so far. Remmers has been their guy, so we'll see if he holds on there. But that's kind of how I expect it to end up. I right guard, it's maybe too early to call, but I think that's going to be the most interesting battle going forward.
I mean, so you described those three battles all with three either rookies or first-year players that have no NFL experience. Would they hesitate to put Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Lucas Niang all together on that offensive line with none of them having an NFL start under their belt?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think definitely Creed Humphrey's going to win that job, I think. So the Chiefs are pretty confident in him and feel pretty good about him. So he's going to win that job. Now, Trey Smith, I think if he, the Chiefs haven't had the pads on yet and won't until training camp. So that's when that battle really starts. But Chiefs are impressed with him so far. And if he shows them what they want to see, I can see them doing that. And as far as the other job at right tackle, I think Remmers will be the favorite there. But if Niang turns out to be the guy, And the Chiefs will go that way. But that would be an interesting thing for them to do, is to go go that young on the offensive line. But looking forward, I mean, if those three guys end up winning those jobs, Chiefs are going to have the right three on their offensive line making on rookie contracts for the next 4 years. I mean, that's a lot for the Chiefs to look forward to, because you know, with you know, their cap issues, you know, that's a huge deal. So if those guys can all win jobs and be starters for at least 4 years for the Chiefs, that's going to solve a lot of their problems.
And Tim Gerhardt a couple of times has mentioned that he still thinks Niang could factor in at guard as well. Do you think they look at him just at right tackle, or do you think there's a chance he moves inside the guard?
Well, so far he's been a tackle. Depending on what the Chiefs need is, I could see him moving inside. But right now, I think with LVT and Trey Smith and maybe Kyle Long coming back, I think the Chiefs are okay at guard right now. So, I wouldn't say it wouldn't happen. And if there's a need, if the Chiefs have a rash of injuries like last year, he could end up there. But haven't seen it yet, but doesn't mean it won't happen.
All right, besides offensive line, what to you are the most interesting storylines for this mandatory minicamp?
I talk about receiver a lot. I want to see all that shakes out. You know, the Chiefs are really impressed with Noah Gray. It's early, but I don't think it's too early to say Noah Gray's going to play some this year, and maybe more than some, because maybe that's where some of the slack comes from losing Sammy Watkins. Maybe the Chiefs shift their production a little bit from their spare wide receivers to their spare tight end. So, we'll see how that one works out. But, want to see how the Chiefs are continue to use him. But he's getting a lot of time in OTAs, at least the ones I've seen. So, that's another guy. And how, does Hardman claim? Is he going to claim that number two spot? Can the Chiefs finally trust him with that job? That's another thing, although, we won't know more about that really until camp. But, that's kind of sort of the other issue. I'm kind of curious how Chris Jones looks at defensive end. We won't see a whole lot from him if he even practices. He didn't practice last week, so if he's even out there, you don't learn a lot without pads on, but you can see how he's adapting at least to the metal part of it.
See, that to me, that's a really, really interesting story to watch, because I think we all think highly of Jaron Reed as a pass rusher from his interior position, and that unexpected signing allows them to bounce Chris Jones outside. But how much do you think he'll play out there? Because, until they made that official, I was concerned about the defensive end depth chart. And I still might, just depending on how he adapts to playing more defensive end. But how much do you think he'll play outside based on what Spagnuolo said and what you've seen?
Well, I don't even think the Chiefs know that yet. I mean, they have to see how this all works out, but they're still figuring it out. But I'll say this. I think there's a chance he plays a lot out there, because you mentioned depth chart at his position is not real, it's not real deep. They've got Frank Clark and Mike Dana and then real Josh Kando and then some hopefuls there. Not a lot there. They have more depth inside, with Derek Nnadi and Jaron Reed and Tershawn Wharton. So, the Chiefs can feel pretty good about moving Chris Jones out there. So I think there's chances of him playing out there maybe more than in the interior positions are pretty good. I think that's where the Chiefs would like this thing to go. So, we'll see how it works out, but I think the chances are good.
We're visiting with Adam Teicher, and Adam, for maybe fans that that never get the chance to go to OTAs or mandatory minicamp like this, and they might not understand the differences in how those practices look. With the OTAs we just had, Andy Reid talked about how they pretty much just threw the whole time. They didn't work on the running game at all. There's no pads, so it's hard to get a look at the offensive and defensive linemen that we're spending a lot of time talking about right now. What about mandatory minicamp? I mean, how much will they get a chance? Will you get really much of a chance to look at those guys and what they really do at these practices?
No, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference anymore between what they are allowed to do in OTAs and what they're allowed to do in minicamp. They can practice for a little longer. You know, they can be out there for a little longer than they were. I think the rule is, what, an hour and 45 maybe at OTA, and then I think it's 2 or 2:15, something like that, at mandatory minicamp. So they can be out there a little longer, and everybody's required to be there. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of difference. They don't wear pads. They don't do any hitting. There's supposed to be no contact. So it's not a whole lot different. Everybody gets more hype for minicamp than for OTAs, but you know what? There's just not a lot of difference anymore. It's the lines are really blurred and between the two of them, and it's just not. Other than guys need to be there, that's really the biggest thing.
Hey, Adam, I wanted to go back to somebody you referenced two or three times earlier when we were talking about the offensive line, and that's Trey Smith. I find his situation very intriguing because you've praised him, his teammates have praised him. All the scouting reports that we read leading into the draft said this guy could be an early round type talent as an offensive lineman. And everything I read seems to indicate that the reason he dropped as far as he did is because of the issue with the blood clots that he had way back in 2018. That was a while ago now. And that's the reason I bring that up. That stands out to me that still somehow was enough of a concern for people that it dropped. And I'm just curious, if you have any indication, do the Chiefs feel like this is, they've done all their tests and this isn't an issue anymore? Is this the type of thing where they're going to have to watch him for a while to see if it affects him at all? Do they have to do more tests on him? Like, where do we stand with that situation that caused him to be available when he was for the Chiefs?
Yeah, you know, it's the Chiefs are pretty confident that those things are in the past. Now, we'll see if they're right, or you know, they may have to manage these things with medicine and that kind of thing. But they feel pretty good about where he is in terms of that. You know, obviously, other teams didn't feel as strongly about that. You know, so you know, we'll see where it goes with him. But I you know, it's something to monitor. But the Chiefs really don't seem concerned long term about this, or short term for that matter. So we'll see where it goes. But, you know, obviously the Chiefs felt okay about him in the sixth round. But if they felt that strongly about it, you feel maybe they would have tried to draft him earlier. So, you know, the Chiefs, while they feel pretty good about it, you know, hey, if they felt that good about it, maybe they would have drafted him in an earlier spot.
Adam Teicher's been our guest, and I know it's going to be a little while before we talk to you again. You're going to go and enjoy a vacation before training camp and the NFL hits full force?
Absolutely. Going to head it up to the mountains up in Colorado and Montana, and it's going to be a pretty good time between now and training camp.
Have you talked to Jake at all? That's your mountain guy up in Colorado. He knows all the ins and outs up there. I don't know if you want that advice, but maybe you should just go on your own accord. So
I go to Colorado so I can avoid guys like Jake. You know, I have to deal with them around here. I'd rather have to not see him up there. Okay,
there you
Montana.
Go.
Have you been to Montana before, Adam?
I have.
That seems so far away, and it seems like such an amazing place to go. What's it like?
Yeah, no, it's huge, number one. I mean, ask him what Montana's like is like asking what the moon is like, you know.
Right.
There's a lot going on up there, but it's spectacular. There's a bunch of great places up there.
Hey, thanks for the time, Adam. Enjoy your vacation, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
That was Adam Teicher. I just... that made me think of you, Jake. What movie did you watch on Netflix and it was horrible?
Well, I mean,
you don't. Come on,
it wasn't horrible, but
you told me it was horrible.
Army of the Dead. I just said it wasn't very good.
You've backed off a little bit.
I mean, look, I regretted watching it. I love Dave Bautista. I love Bautista.
Right.
Look, and I'm all for it. So I had to watch it because I'm a big fan of his. But and Zack Snyder directed it, and I love Zack Snyder. I was about an hour 45 in, and I usually can just turn a movie off, but I was like, it had me enough gripped in that I was like, I got to see how this thing ends. But it's not a great movie. I wish I would have probably spent my 2 hours and 25 minutes elsewhere doing something else or watching something else.
Yeah, you know, we did that.
Did you watch it?
No, we were looking for a movie to watch last week. Me and Sue, we got a movie that I really hadn't heard of, but it was people we like in it. And I'm like, and maybe about halfway through, like, what?
Yeah.
What are we watching? Some of these, some of the stunts. But then it was like, it wasn't bad. But like, if I'd have paid $30 to go see it, But we were just sitting there. But it was just the like who thought of the title? It was a movie. Those Who Wish Me Dead, starring Angelina Jolie and John Bernthal. So now John Bernthal is great, and so is Angelina Jolie.
I love John Bernthal. But he's the Punisher.
Yeah, that's right.
He's also Shane in Walking Dead.
He's a lot of things.
So thumbs down on this one?
No. See, I think you'd like it a lot, but there were a couple of times like, I don't know.
What are we talking about? Is it drama, thriller, action? What?
It's action. She's a...
What is she?
Angelina Jolie's a smoke jumper in this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's like, you know.
I don't know what that is.
Smoke jumpers, yeah. They jump into forest fires, dude.
Yeah.
They're badasses.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yes. Yeah. It's, you know, it was. I think I liked it, but I don't know. Like, it's one of those things, like, yeah, it's pretty good, but I didn't pay for it, so I'm all right.
Yeah.
I think I was in the same boat as you. But I mean, you know, Angelina Jolie's a smoke jumper. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? And then John Bernthal, like, all right, you got me at least.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, that, those are two. That might have sucked me in.
What? Hmm. Why don't you watch it then? It's a new movie. It's from 2021, so.
I'm scared to watch another movie after my last experience. I didn't even turn my TV on this weekend, barely.
Right.
I mean, outside of the sports, I did a lot of yard work this weekend.
So what happened with Sporting?
They played to a 1-1 draw against Austin FC.
What happened to your voice?
Yeah, I don't know,
that's
man.
The next question,
a lot of
dude.
People are texting me and
I'm
tweeting
wondering myself.
Yeah. Jake's giving me funny looks. What's going on? Like I get that sometimes when it's fatigued.
It's but getting worse. I haven't heard this from you. It's been getting worse every day for the past week. I don't know what's
been getting
going
worse
on.
Today.
What have you been doing?
Nothing. I mean,
you've been smoking cigars every day or what?
I've been trying to drink throat coat tea.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Doesn't seem like it's helping too much.
Yeah.
I'll bet you do.
Call it Jake T.
You like that throat coat, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I don't know if it's an allergy situation or what it is.
What flavor is the throat coat tea?
I don't know.
Vanilla.
No, I don't know.
Does it taste good or is it like medicine-y?
Yeah, it tastes good.
Maybe honey and lemon or?
Yeah, I add a little honey and lemon to it.
You know what they say? You're going to think I'm crazy.
Again?
I think so.
You're going to think I'm crazy. Okay. You know what'll fix that voice right up? My grandma told me this all the time.
What?
Pork rinds and Tabasco sauce.
I believe it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I believe it.
Okay.
You see a bag of pork rinds,
do you
Tabasco
have some?
Sauce. Then your throat's great.
I might.
What's that?
I'd eat some. Maybe.
Well, I don't have them with me, but I've got, I love pork rinds.
Chicharrones.
I'm hoping that turns around here pretty soon.
Mijo, did you eat all the pork rinds? Yes,
no.
Grandma.
No.
No, yes.
There's
no,
two
I mean,
left.
No, they're, you know, it's all over my face. Sure, I did.
I like that Jake thinks it's like funny, or he doesn't believe that I have allergies. What are the two? He's very
The allergies. That's not the throat. That's like the voice fatigue.
Right.
I'm
laughing. Maybe. Is like everything's your allergies. Like my allergies. I believe you have them.
No, let me tell you something.
I believe you have them.
Me and Susan go right around anything that I say is wrong with me. She goes, it's probably your allergies. I'll say, you know what? My butt hurts. Allergies.
Allergies.
How is that possible?
Butt allergies.
Everything. I don't know, but it's everything, you know.
Yeah.
But she blames her allergies and everything, and she's usually right.
Well.
You know.
I'm not denying the fact, but it's just like It's like, man, these allergies. And then something like your throat's bothering you. It's like, man, these allergies.
See, but I get like, that. Like, if I do, like,
I think maybe you called a whole sporting
several
game
gigs
exciting.
Or whatever, then that's how I thought that you happened.
Yeah, I mean, it might have been that. Might have been me screaming at my three children all weekend long while my wife was out of town.
Or that's my second guess.
Or you got hammered last night.
I mean, that's the thing is I didn't do anything like that this weekend. You know, I didn't go to the concert on Friday.
Yeah, sporting game?
Saving that till 11
o'clock
this
morning. I did the
sporting
game, but I do sporting games every week, and my voice doesn't sound like
this. Did you yell for the polling game today?
Did you yell even more than you normally do?
About that. What's that?
Did you yell more? I mean, was it a...
I don't think so. Although, do you guys... I got to... We got to play it at some point.
We ain't got to play nothing.
You don't tell me what to
do,
buddy.
We should play something.
Okay,
I produced this show, Nick.
Yeah, I'm just telling you how to approach
it.
You
might ask
me
to
play something.
We had, we had Rob Riggle in studio for a while, and I let him. I had him call, asked him to call some of the action.
How'd you get Rob Riggle?
I know people.
Next time he's here, book him on the show.
All right. No doubt.
But he called a little play-by-play.
Into the corner kick?
Oh, man, I was sure he was going to get a goal out of it, too. He came close.
So sporting tied.
You better
watch.
Yeah,
they've tied 1-1.
You might take your job.
Now,
well, luckily,
he's
already more big time than that job.
So this is not a feel-good story at all. This was scarier than hell.
Oh, man.
So then the other thing that happened in soccer, explain to people what that was and who that was and what happened. And thankfully he's stable now.
He actually put something out on social media.
Okay.
He's trying to figure out what happened. And here, you know what? This could lead to a little PSA that one of my friends who works in healthcare told me as well.
Just don't talk down to people.
So, the European Championships are taking place right now. They're all over ESPN. People that don't like soccer probably have been forced to see some of it anyway, just because it's all over ESPN right now.
Love it.
Jake
loves
it.
You got? Are you? You love it, Jake? Are you?
Yeah,
I love it.
It's the second biggest tournament in the world.
In the whole world,
wide world.
Yeah,
right.
Some people say it's better than the World Cup.
Some people
but it's
are
not.
Crazy.
No. Those people are not.
It's
right.
It's a terrific competition. There's always so many great teams in Europe and. In the game on Saturday afternoon, Denmark was playing Finland, and
that's a good game.
A great player from Denmark named Christian Eriksen. He's a tremendous player.
Lebo hates the Finns,
and he is he punches Finnish people,
doesn't he? Right in their throats.
But so Denmark's star player Christian Eriksen, and honestly, I was at the in the press box at Children's Mercy Park. We had just gotten out of the TV truck having our show prep meeting. And Jacob Peterson and I had walked upstairs into the booth to start getting our stuff ready. And we looked up on the TV, and the situation was already going on where the entire team was surrounding Christian Eriksen to try to kind of shield him from view of the fans while there were medical workers all around him. Basically, in the middle of the game, he was just running on the field. No one was around him or anything. He collapsed. And I think what they've said now is it was a cardiac issue, and basically his heart stopped beating on the field.
Yep.
And the healthcare workers, and I say it once, I'll say it a million times, man, healthcare workers are heroes.
They are
heroes. And these healthcare workers jumped out onto the field immediately, and they spent 5 minutes resuscitating him. And they basically brought him back to life on the field. When we were watching it, and nobody knew, and the poor announcers, they were left to try to talk while this whole situation was going on. And they showed Christian Eriksen, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend, but she was on the field hysterical. The players were all in tears. The players on the other team were in tears. There was a real fear that this man had died on the field.
Yeah, they pulled out a defibrillator.
Yes.
They used a defibrillator on him. His heart stopped.
Yeah, they and that was what my buddy told me, who's also a physical therapist. He texted all of us and said, you know what? I did not know this. You can get your CPR training online now. The government has an online process where each one of us can take, basically do the CPR training so that we know how to do it. If something like that ever happens, you ever find yourself in a situation where somebody has a heart attack, good for you, Jake, and that's something that I'm going to do. We should all do it because you might be in a position where you're the only person that can save someone else's life. And
my mama made me take it.
And you're good on your mom,
right?
You know, because somebody could have a heart attack around you and you could save their life, you know. And these healthcare workers, I mean, they said, I mean, he basically, his heart stopped beating. And it took him 5 minutes to resuscitate. But we didn't know that as they were wheeling him off the field, we didn't know if he was alive or dead.
They suspended the game, right?
And they suspended the game, which they had to do. And there's no way those guys could go back out and play.
No, they were wrecked.
But I was,
rightfully so.
Man, I was thinking, like, as an announcer, and maybe it's something as a boxing guy, you know, I know, Stephen, what you've been through in your life and everything, it probably has crossed your mind, but I always thought, like, I'm trying to prepare for every eventuality that could possibly happen in a game. It had never once crossed my mind, what if someone has a heart attack on the field? What would I do as an announcer? What would we say? And that was what those announcers were in that situation. It was nuts. But he is alive. He tweeted today that you know, he's feeling better. But now he's going to try to find answers as to what happened. Because obviously when you're a highly tuned athlete, too, they do all kinds of heart tests on these guys. They do stress tests and everything. They do physicals. They try to, you know, spot anything they might see. But obviously they didn't spot whatever it was that led to him have this issue. So they're going to try to find that out now. It was really a terrifying scene in the world of sports on Saturday. And that happened about 3 or 4 hours before we kicked off in the Sporting versus Austin game.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.